Our subject, as we have announced, is simply entitled The Sacrifice of Isaac. Genesis 22, verse 1 and 2, we read these words, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee today for thy precious word. We thank thee, Lord, that thy word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And oh God, we pray that you'll bless your word as it goes forth this day. We pray, Lord, that you would take the word of God and apply it to all of our hearts and all of our needs. And oh God, we pray for those in this congregation who are still strangers to grace and to God, that even this would be the Lord's day, that they would turn to Christ and find eternal redemption through the blood of the Lamb. We thank thee for the sacrifice of Calvary. And oh God, we do pray that you would come and speak to our hearts and draw us afresh to the cross. We thank thee, O God, that the Lord Jesus laid down his life a ransom for the many. There upon the cross of Calvary, he died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And I pray today, Lord, that we might all be drawn to the foot of the cross. Touch our hearts, O God, as we would consider again what it costs for thee, the Holy One, to bear away our sin. We pray, Lord, that we might be closer drawn to thee. Fill us now afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. And help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. For it's in Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it. Amen. The most well-known event in the story of Isaac was the time when Abraham, his father, at the command of God, took Isaac in order to sacrifice him as a burnt offering on the top of Mount Moriah. Although this event in Genesis 22 focuses mainly on the faith of Abraham, we cannot take away the great role that Isaac played in this scene that is set before us. Because like his father, Isaac displayed great faith and obedience as he went with Abraham to be sacrificed on Mount Moriah. The offering up of Isaac in Genesis chapter 22 is of course a wonderful picture and type of the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made on Calvary's cross. Long before Christ the Messiah came to earth and died for our sins, God gave excellent foreshadowings of that death in the Old Testament. Genesis 22 gives one of the greatest and most detailed gospel pictures in the Old Testament concerning the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made upon a cross. Very simply today, as we come to consider the sacrifice of Isaac in this portion of scripture that we have read, I want you to observe how the sacrifice of Isaac is a picture and type of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. I know it's a familiar scene to most of us, if not all of us, but I pray that as we turn to this familiar passage of scripture, again that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts, those of us who are saved, that the Lord will touch our souls again as we are reminded of what it cost Christ the Holy One to bear away our sin. Thank God you and I are on our way to heaven because of what the Lord Jesus Christ suffered upon Calvary's cross. But I also pray that it might speak to the hearts of those here who are not converted, that even the Lord will speak to your souls and reveal unto you your great need of salvation. And as you again are reminded of what the Lord Jesus Christ suffered upon the cross, that your heart might be softened and that you might come in repentance and faith to him and trust Christ as your own and personal Redeemer. The first thing I want you to notice, and I hope that you have your Bible open before you, I want you to notice that Isaac was willing to be sacrificed. I believe that's one of the great truths that we learn here as we consider the sacrifice of Isaac. Isaac allowed Abraham, his father, to lay him upon the altar of sacrifice. Look what we read in verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abram built an altar there and laid the wood in order. Now underline these words. And bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Isaac here made no resistance to stop his father laying him upon the altar. Rather, Isaac submitted himself to the will of his father. And I believe it's very important that we see that in this text of Scripture. Although the Bible here describes Isaac as a lad, most commentators believe that he was at least in his early 20s, if not in his early 30s. But certainly Isaac was of an age whereby he could have resisted his father tying him up and laying him upon an altar. But instead of resisting, Isaac willingly and submissively permitted Abraham to lay him upon the altar as a sacrifice. And even when Abraham lifted the knife to slay Isaac, Isaac uttered no complaint or made no resistance. Look at verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Isaac was willing to be the sacrifice. You know what a picture we have here of Christ's obedience when the Savior went to the cross. One commentator said, "This submission of Isaac is a striking foreshadowing of the law-abiding character of Jesus Christ, who submitted totally to the wishes of his heavenly Father." When the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, he came to finish the will of the Father. Because we read in John 4 verse 34, the Savior said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And in Hebrews 10 verse 9 we read, "Lo, I come," speaking of Christ, "to do thy will, O God." And it was the Apostle Paul who said in Philippians 2 verse 8, "Christ was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And it was Peter who said in 1 Peter 2 verse 23, "When he suffered," speaking of Christ, "he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." And of course we're all familiar with that tremendous verse in Isaiah 53 verse 7. "He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." Oh, the Lord truly came to this earth to die upon a cross. And he was willing to die. He was willing to be that sacrifice. And what a wonderful truth is presented to us here in this picture that we have in Genesis chapter 22 when we consider the death of Christ, that the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, was willing to lay down his life a ransom for the many. Oh, I pray, child of God, that that truth will not be lost upon us today. But as we consider again the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made, that we will always remember that he came and he was an obedient servant to fulfill the will of his Father and to finish the work that the Father sent him to do. But notice something else here in Genesis 22. Notice secondly that Isaac was led up the mountain with the wood on his back to be sacrificed. Take a look what it says in verse 2. First of all, "And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains. Underline that. Which I will tell thee of. And then look at verse 6. And Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it, underline that, upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. The Lord told Abraham where to go in order to sacrifice Isaac. He was to bring Isaac to Mount Moriah, to a specific place on Mount Moriah, a place that the Lord would make known to Abraham when he got there. Look at verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place. Underline that. Afar off. When Abraham got near this place where Isaac would be laid upon the altar, Abraham laid the wood for the burnt offering upon Isaac. That's what we learn there in verse 6. And Isaac carried the wood up the mountain. This was the wood that Abraham was going to use to sacrifice his son. To the wood that he was going to use to sacrifice Isaac. Isaac carried this wood up the mountain. What a picture. What a foreshadowing we have here of Calvary. Before the Savior was crucified, he carried his own cross to the place of death. Turn over to John chapter 19 and look with me at verses 17 and 18. And you'll read these words. And he, speaking of Christ, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. You see, the Savior carried the wood that he was nailed upon up Calvary's mountain. I believe that Christ was crucified in the same place where Abraham brought Isaac to be sacrificed. Because this place where Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac was the area later known as Jerusalem. And if you take the time when you go home to read 2 Chronicles 3 verse 1, you will see that to be the case. And of course the Lord Jesus was crucified just outside the city of Jerusalem. Oh men and women, God makes no mistakes. What a wonderful Bible we have. What a wonderful salvation God has provided for us, for you and me today. Even in this little detail. In Genesis 22, we can see a picture of the cross as the wood is laid upon Isaac, and as Isaac carries this wood up to the place of sacrifice, up to the mount where he's going to be sacrificed, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when he came to die, would carry the cross upon which he would be nailed. There's another thought that I want to leave with you before we move on. Abraham laying the wood upon Isaac, his son, was a foreshadowing of God the Father laying upon Christ our sins. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 verse 6, So God laid on him, speaking of Christ, God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Here we have the reason why Christ died upon the cross. Here we have the reason why the Savior willingly carried the wooden cross up Calvary's hill. It was in order to bear my sins in his own body upon the tree. The Bible tells me that Christ died for my sins. And we're going to see more about that just in a moment. But isn't it wonderful that when the Lord Jesus laid down his life, he died the just for the unjust. He died the sinless one for the sinner. The Lord is able to save sinners today because Christ has died for sinners. My friend, if you do not acknowledge that you're a sinner, then what you're actually saying is that you don't need a Savior. But we all need a Savior. Because we all are sinners. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But I gladly today confess that I'm a sinner.
I gladly today confess that I need mercy. I gladly today confess that I need a Saviour.
And that Saviour that I need is none other than God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He died for my sins. He shed His blood for my sins. And thank God, because of what He has accomplished upon the cross of Calvary, I can have my sins forgiven. You see, God the Father laid, and God the Son, the iniquity of us all. But notice something else. Turn back again to Genesis 22. Notice thirdly that Isaac, the one that was to be sacrificed, was the only son of his father, and Abraham loved him. I'm sure, again, that you've noticed that. But maybe there's those here today, and you're not as familiar with this passage of Scripture as others. Look what it says in verse 2. And he said, this is the Lord speaking to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. And this fact that Isaac was Abraham's only son is again emphasized in verse 12. At the end of it, look at it. Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And also in verse 16, the end of it. And hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. So here we learn this simple but wonderful truth, that as far as God was concerned, Abraham had only one son, and it was Isaac. You know, some might say, but Abraham had another son, Ishmael. This text in Genesis 22 verse 2 reveals to us that in the eyes of God, Abraham had only one son. Isaac was the only son of Sarah, and the only son who was heir to the covenant. Isaac was the only son of promise. And that's the truth that is being set forth here in Genesis chapter 22. And how Abraham loved Isaac. Indeed, that is emphasized to us also in verse 2. Whom thou lovest. And yet, although Abraham loved his only son, he was still willing to sacrifice him upon the altar. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17, we read these words. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. You say it to me, but he didn't offer him up. God stopped him. Aye, but Abraham was not aware of that at the time. As far as Abraham was concerned, as he made his journey up to the top of Mount Moriah, he was going to sacrifice his son. God had told him to sacrifice him. And as far as Abraham was concerned, Abraham had already sacrificed him, because he already made the decision. And when he took the knife, he was going to plunge it into his son. And that's why we read there in verse 17 of Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. But how he loved him, and yet he was still willing to offer him up as a sacrifice to God. Again, we have a wonderful picture of what happened at the cross at Calvary. In John 3 verse 16, we read these words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. On the cross, God the Father gave his only begotten son, whom he loved, to die for sinners. The Bible says in Romans 8 verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And the Father loved the Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That was the testimony of the Father towards the Son. Here we can see the magnitude of God's love to us men and women. God's love was so great for sinners that he gave the best that he had.
He gave heaven's holiest and heaven's purest and heaven's highest when he gave his only begotten Son to be sacrificed for our sins upon the cross.
God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall, salvation full at highest cost. He offers free to all. And let us never forget that today. Let us always remember that when the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, that the Father gave the Son to be the Savior of the world. He gives heaven's best to save earth's worst. He gave his only begotten Son, the one that he loved, the one that he cherished. He gave him a ransom for the many. And as we enter into a new week, and with all that this week will bring us, rushing about for Christmas and all the rest of it, let us never forget what it cost for Christ the Holy One to bear away our sins. Oh, isn't it wonderful that we can meet here in God's house today and read a passage of Scripture like this and be reminded again of the cross? I wonder, is there someone here today and you're still in your sin? My friend, to get to hell, you need to step over the cross. You need to step over the love of God. To get to hell and end up in the flames of hell forever, you need to push aside this wonderful sacrifice that was offered for sinners on Calvary. Is it any wonder that your hell will be 10 hells compared to the heathen in Africa who have never heard the gospel if you end up there? Oh, my friend, that's why I exhort you today to come to Christ and to consider again the wonderful sacrifice that was made upon Calvary's middle tree for your sins and for my sins. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. And he suffered. And he died alone. But there's something else I want you to notice here. Turn again to Genesis 22. I want you to notice, fourthly, that the sacrifice of Isaac was done in private. Did you notice that? Look at verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Only Abraham and Isaac would go to the place of sacrifice. The servants of Abraham were not permitted to go. No one else was going to see Abraham sacrifice his son. This again is a picture of the cross. You may say, but how? After all, there were many standing around the cross. Well, there were many who witnessed the physical sufferings of Christ. That is true. In Pilate's judgment hall. And as the Savior made his way to Calvary, and even when the Savior was nailed to the cross, there were many who witnessed those physical sufferings. But it must be remembered that when it came to the atoning sufferings of Christ, the Father and Son were alone. In other words, when God the Father laid on Christ the iniquity of us all, a veil of darkness overshadowed the cross. And if you're familiar with the scene of the cross in the Gospels, you will know that in those 3 hours of darkness, it was in those hours that God the Father pulled a veil down over his Son. That was the time, I believe, when Christ bore our hell in his own body upon the tree. And it was such a thick darkness that no one could see what Christ was going through at that point. That is when Christ became a curse for us. when he bore our sins in his own body upon the tree. No earthly man would witness the Father's judgment upon the Son for our sins. This darkness shut out the world so that God the Father and God the Son could deal with the sacrificing at Calvary alone. Oh, none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, or he won the souls that was lost. When we think about the cross, not only must we think about the physical sufferings of Christ and the mental sufferings of Christ, but we must of course remember and consider the atoning sufferings of Christ. Because I believe, let me emphasize it again, in those 3 hours of darkness, that was the time when God the Father plunged the sword of judgment into his Son. When he bore all my eternity in hell upon the cross. Oh, my friend, have you ever really considered what it costs for Christ, the Holy One, to bear away your sins? He died the just for the unjust. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Child of God, let us never forget the cost of our salvation. Let us never forget the price that was paid for our redemption. Isn't it significant here in Genesis 22 that no one went up the mount to the place of sacrifice but Abraham and Isaac? Everyone was left at the foot of the mountain. And I tell you, when Christ bore our sins in his own body upon the tree, a veil of darkness was brought down. Oh, thank God. Thank God that the Lord Jesus has borne my sins in his own body upon the tree. That's why I'm going to heaven. That's why I'll never be in hell. That's why my sins are forgiven. And thank God, when Christ cried, "It is finished," upon the cross, man's redemption was completed once and for all. And that's why you today can be saved. That's why you today can begin your journey to heaven. That's why you today can have all your sins forgiven. But you must come and take the sinner's place and acknowledge and confess that you're a sinner. And that's the hardest step for men and women in this 21st century. Because when I talk to them, they'll quickly tell me that they're as good as anybody else. Well, they might be as good as anybody else, but everybody else is a sinner. My friend, if you're judging yourself and everybody else, then you're just saying that you're the sinner as well as everybody else. Oh, I pray today that you will recognize that you are the sinner, that you need a Savior, and that you recognize that Jesus died for your sins. And thank God if you can recognize that and see that today, then there is hope for your soul. But of course you've got to do something else. You've got to come and repent of your sin and by faith trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me finish off by saying this. No type in the Bible is perfect. At the end, Isaac did not have to die. The ram took his place. Look at verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, aren't these wonderful words, and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Isaac was spared. Because you see, Isaac too needed a Savior. Isaac too needed a substitute. But not so for Christ. Because the Lord Jesus was the Lamb of God. He was the Lamb of God. Even Isaac needed a Savior. Again, the ram which took Isaac's place, of course, is a picture of Christ taking the sinner's place. My friend, like Isaac, you need a Savior today. You need a Savior this afternoon. And thank God, the Word of God reveals unto us that Jesus Christ is that Savior. He was not taken down from the cross before he bore the sins of the world. No one took our Lord's place. No, he had to go the whole way to Calvary. He had to lay down his life. He had to die for the many. Because he was the only one that was good enough to bear away our sins. Luke 2 verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Coming up to this Christmas time, we of course remember the birth of Christ. And there's nothing wrong with that. Though I don't personally believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was born at this time of the year. But it's always good to remember the birth of the Lord Jesus, because the Bible tells us so much about the birth of Christ. But never forget this, men and women. The reason why the Lord Jesus Christ was born was to die. He was born to die. He was born to go to the cross. He was born to lay down his life for our sins upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow. And as we have been finding out this morning, even before he was born, indeed many hundreds of years before he was born, indeed many thousands of years before he was born, it was prophesied that he would come and die upon a cross and then rise again. And these pictures and types that we have in the Old Testament, and of course we have direct prophecies as well, they all point us to the one who would not only come, the Messiah, but he would eventually live a holy life upon this earth and die an atoning death upon the cross. He's the Savior. There's no other Savior. Mary's not the Savior. The church is not the Savior. The sacraments are not the Savior. And you can come to this church from now till you die, my friend, and you can still be lost forever in hell. That's why the Bible exhorts you to come and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. And if you end up in a lost eternity, remember this, that you walk over and trample under the blood of Christ. Oh, my friend, don't resist him anymore. Don't reject him anymore. Thank God, he has taken the sinner's place. Just as the ram took Isaac's place. And Isaac went free. Praise God. The Lord Jesus Christ has taken the sinner's place. And that means that you and I can go free today and find eternal life and know salvation through Christ. Let us all.